been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Conflict Rising. This week we have a great guest who is the founder of the, Beth, you tell us. Is it the Living Foods Institute? Am I saying that right?
Yes, it's the Living Foods Institute. I'm actually not the founder of it. It's the founder of Tula Health Studios, which you know well. And
yes, I do.
The Living Foods Institute was actually founded 20 years ago by Brenda Cobb, who had cancer and started the program because of her journey into natural healing from breast and cervical cancer. So I'm just thrilled now as a new owner to be a part of it.
Okay, so you're the new owner. Okay, my apology. Thank you for correcting me on that. Well,
no.
I am so excited for you to be on the show because, as you said, we've got a history together. When you were the founder of Tula Health Studios, and that's where we met many, many years ago. But it was a pivotal time in my life in terms of my own wellness. And I actually coached my own clients in that space as well. So I both gave and received in that beautiful space that you created. So here we are, what, 10, 15 years later, and still passionate about the same things. It just in different ways. So, you know, for those listeners out there who might be new to the show, Conflict Rising is we tackle a lot of cultural issues that have created a lot of conflict. And so there are some common themes. Sometimes we have really hot topics like, you know, we've had an episode on the border wall issues and the refugee issues, and we've had the heartbeat bill featured. And so some of the really heavy cultural issues we've tackled on the show. But then other times we really talk about our conflicting relationship with food, our conflicting relationship with our bodies, you know, our wellness, health and wellness, and multiple aspects of that. And then sometimes I'll just have a great person on the show who will just share with us different techniques to help us heal, to help us get to a better space with ourselves. So let's talk about healthcare today and wellness, because when I think of you, Beth, I think of many years ago when we did work together, and it was you who said to me that in ancient China, doctors were only paid to keep people well. Do you remember that?
Well, yes, I remember thinking that. I don't remember that. I remember more of the great bits of advice that you gave me. So, or bits of little tips of wisdom. But yes, exactly. And how different that is today, isn't it? Or not in China. Actually, China, you know, everything is different, I think, around the world. But
yeah,
what a great thing for people to be paid to be well, and the system to rely on well people.
Exactly. So when I was speaking to at a women's conference, this has been maybe 4 years ago up in Indiana, I came out of the gate and said, you know, we have a problem when the health of our economy is dependent upon the illness of our people.
Yeah.
So there are huge economic systems that are financially incentivized to keep us sick.
Yes, I know.
I would say that that's a little conflict inducing, wouldn't you?
I would. I absolutely would.
So I want to talk about that and wellness and your perspectives. But before we do a really deep dive into all these topics, can you give us more of a background? We've teased out a little bit about health, Tula Health Studios, but from your further background, but can you share with our listeners really what your background is in this and why it is a passion for you?
Well, I, as you know, I love that the word Tula, which, you know, means balance. And now we're using it also. Lifestyle medicine is a neat thing. It's a neat emerging field, which we can talk about too in a minute. But we're also calling ourselves the Ultimate Lifestyle Academy, the acronym for Tula. But it's, so the Living Foods Institute, which is now the Living Foods Institute at Tula Health, I mentioned was originally founded to help people with cancer learn to, and various chronic disease, help learn to heal themselves naturally. The previous owner really was using everything all about necessarily even needing to look to medicine, because everything is, there's so many alternatives that nature gives us. And but she actually, since I've come on board, we are trying to work even a little more closely with the medical industry, because we believe that it is a balance. And at any phase in somebody's treatment, actually, when I took the class several years ago, there was a woman in my group who was going through chemotherapy, and she said, "You know what? I'm the only healthy person in my chemo group." So I see the Living Foods Institute, which actually sees people from all around the world, and who have either they're not having success with the medical industry, or they just feel this innate pull to just look just to natural healing. And so, my hope is to help to bridge the gap between the medical community and the natural healing community, which in other countries has already been bridged in a lot of ways. And so when participants come through our program, they're with us for, right now we have lots of small workshops and things, but our lowest, the lowest amount of time that they're immersed in our program is 5 days, because we have people who come for a month, and some people go through the program multiple times, but we really want people to have the plenty of time for their body to heal. And they're going through a detoxification process, and it's not like, there's a lot of people talking about detoxification now with different things, different herbs or fast and juice cleanses, and that while all those are wonderful, this is different, because it's just flooding the body with just healthy nutrition. You're actually getting regular food. It's all raw, organic, plant-based, and some sprouted and fermented, but we use, I won't go into the whole thing, and that's not what this is about, but it's sort of based on 5 healing foods. And people, in fact, I don't detoxify well, which is learned since losing my father many years ago. And I start detoxing on the very first day. It's really an intense, based on the food, because of the foods. And they're also, we also have classes, and then we have a lot of machines and equipment and therapy and therapists that our participants are exposed to, and they're with us from 9 till 4. So it's a, wow, it's a very thorough, neat program, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Thanks for asking.
Good. Absolutely. So how long ago did your passion for wellness, health and wellness, how far back do we date, and what really triggered it?
You know, as a child, I actually, my dad was a medical doctor, and so I grew up with that. But my mom was a yoga teacher. So I had a balance growing up of both. But as a child, I used to get this sort of a stress-induced urticaria, what they eventually called a stress-induced urticaria. I would get severe reactions that we couldn't really correlate to anything other than stress. And I would have an overreaction to food. And so that's when I started realizing, wow, it's interesting that this was even before, my father being a medical doctor didn't really make many correlations between nutrition and health. Even, physicians only were getting, and still don't get, very many, very few classes in nutrition in medical school. So I think I've always growing up was interested, because I started to notice with myself, having a healthy mom, that there were things that I could do that would impact things that were really important to me, like not having these severe skin reactions. And then I later was teaching health and in English at a school and was asked to run the school as the principal. And I started doing new programming for kids that really seemed to just be make such a profound difference with particularly with yoga in the classrooms and some other things. And anyway, and then I guess yoga really was one of the very early things for me that I started noticing what a difference I felt and how I was even had it sort of shifted. I heard on your commercial just prior to coming on about inner conflict, and I thought how really that shifted my relationship with food. And it's helped me have more inner integrity, I guess, and continuity between what I'm doing and what I'm feeling and what I think is right and what I want to do. And that's one of the things I think I hope our program offers people too. So, yeah.
So that's fantastic. And I am a huge believer in the balance between, you know, traditional Western medicine, we'll call it, you know, medical care. And wellness care and some of the holistic practices that we now refer oftentimes as Eastern practices. And I don't know that it's really that delineated, but traditionally that's kind of how we Westerners have thought of it for whatever reason. But I am a big believer that it is the balance of both, that, you know, we can thank the heavens for all these phenomenal medical practitioners who can intervene when something goes terribly wrong inside of us, or if we have some kind of a physical trauma where we really need someone to completely intervene and save our lives at a physical level, physiological. And so we're very grateful for all of those wonderful, you know, medical practices and innovations that continue to help us with longevity and help us. You know, I just think of it as intervention based. But yeah. I think what's so critical in the balance of our wellness is prevention, right?
Yeah.
Or optimization, or as you said, detoxification, right? Things that we can do to optimize our vitality, to optimize our aging process, to optimize our health and well-being. I think there are a lot of things that are within arm's length to us now that maybe weren't when we were growing up, or we didn't know about them, we didn't have access to them, that are real game changers in our lives. And that's why I love talking about this, because I think, you know, the old paradigm is you just work yourself into the ground and then you go to the doctor to fix you when you break down.
Yeah, exactly.
And the new paradigm is, hey, if we're going to live longer, we really actually want to feel good.
Exactly.
So how would you, for our listeners, how would you define wellness? If you had to define it, how would you, you know, we throw the word around a lot, but what does that really mean to you?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, and I think that it is so individual, which makes me think of your point about innovation and progress. And it really is, it's so interesting that life really does, without our doing anything, life creates opportunities for balance. And despite all of the progress and the new and all of the new innovation and new technology, it really is interesting how it's bringing us back to that you were referring to, whether it's Eastern medicine or the natural healing things, because, you know, a lot of people talk about this, you know, oh, you're eating this new trendy way or whatever, but it's really not. Really the way that we just have agriculture has created this whole, all the changes have created new foods and new genetically modified foods. And I mean, there's so much that are great for feeding people, but that have created all of these problems. And so people are starting to realize, just like, you know, that sort of supply and demand of our economy, that people are getting sick. So they're starting to look for other answers. And the really great thing, and this is really cool for me because I have seen this the program that I am just stepping into at Living Foods has been doing what it's doing for 20 years. But the really neat thing is now science and medicine is actually validating a lot of what we do. In fact, I was just, I had a little spot removed on my face yesterday. And when I went to the dermatologist, we were talking about what I did, and I've been seeing him for years because I have all kinds of weird skin things pop up periodically. And he said, you really should use the zest of a lemon and start cooking with it and the oils in it. And I thought, oh my goodness, I love that, because of course we teach that foods too, but that's my medical doctor talking about that. And
yeah.
So you asked about wellness, and the thing is, it's so, in my opinion, it's so individual, and it varies. The definition varies, of course, from person to person. And I think I love that, your mention in your description or your radio is about inner conflict. And that's such a critical piece, because we're exposed to so much more information now with technology, with the internet and access, it would be easy to forget that we can trust ourselves. And the irony is, I think, is that when we eat poorly and when we take medicine, we start to disconnect from our ability to listen to ourselves, or to hear ourselves, mm-hmm. or to have a clear voice. And so I think that perspective, wellness really is inner peace and knowing that you can trust yourself. And then if you have that, if you're eating well, and by eating well, there are all these different diets. I mean, and of course it's going to vary from everyone. While participants are in our program, for example, they're 100% raw vegan. There's nothing, it's all raw plant-based, and it's all 100% organic. There are a lot of, we don't even need supplements. It's all food and specific water that we use, but we don't want people to feel like they've got to leave and be a raw vegan. In fact, I don't even think that's healthy forever to just be 100% raw vegan, but it's incorporating that. People can make that correlation after they've gone through a period of time when, and this is what would be what I would suggest to your listeners, that they go through some period of time eliminating things to experiment with it and to see, does this make me feel good? Does that make me feel good? And really that's with everything in life, with people that you're in relationship with food, with various experiences, really being able to check in and say, does this feed me on a soul level? Does this make me feel healthy? Does this make me feel bad? So I think it's just so individual, but it's hard to get there unless we take a period of time going inward and eliminating. And even eliminating can be going inward and eliminating noise and or distraction, just, being quiet and prayerful and meditative. And that's really, that's a good way of checking in. It can also be just taking a period of time, eliminating the foods that are creating the problems. And, they're all, we don't necessarily know what problem, but there are all kinds of great elimination diets people can do. Ours is only, ours is just one. Of course, we leave out basically everything that could potentially be pretty toxic, but avoiding gluten for a period of time, maybe avoiding meat for a period of time, or avoiding just any meats that are nothing but organic and grass-fed if somebody's going to be eating meat. And then starting to notice, okay, now I'm back. It's really about, so we're talking about progress with the economy, and the economy at this level is dependent on the people being ill, because of course the economy needs to be financially healthy, and unfortunately our pharmaceutical industry is one of our biggest drivers, as is medical procedures that are incredibly expensive. So as we talk about progress, we also need to talk about getting back to basics, and it's hard to do that unless we do some form of eliminating things. And then from there, when we build back up, we can start to see, okay, this is what health feels like. This is what wellness feels like for every person. And so, um, so anyway, I think one other thing I just that comes to mind too is about wellness that we don't want to, that I don't want to forget to mention, is one really neat thing that the Journal of the American Medical Association also now talks about.
Beth, connection. I'm sorry to interrupt. We've got to go to a commercial, and I don't want to lose that point. So stay tuned, everyone, and we're going to pick this conversation back up in a few minutes.
Perfect. Okay, thanks, Jennifer.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back, everyone. So, Beth, I did not mean to interrupt you as we were going to a commercial break, but I thought the music is going to overshadow your voice, and you were making a very strong point. So I want to make sure we kind of hit rewind real quick, and if you'll go back to that last point you were making, because I think we missed the first portion of what you were saying.
Oh, well, and I'm not sure where it cut off, but I feel like this is just, it's so neat. I was talking a bit about how I love that medical science is now validating so many of the things that we've known for years, or those of us who, a lot of us have felt like we're so important, but that somehow got missed in modern medicine. And one of the really cool things, in fact, this was in the Journal of the American Medical Association recently, there's a strong correlation, not that this is going to be a surprise to you or any of your listeners, but that connectedness with others is really helps foster healing. And that is just, it's such an important thing to remember, that, you know, none of us are alone, and there's always really nurturing connections with people we love, and of course with ourselves. Because I always think of that when, you know, that there's the connections, if they're measuring it outwardly with connections and community, that's so incredibly important. But of course, we also know our inward connection is so important. And speaking of wellness, of course, I when you asked me, I didn't really know you were going to ask that question about it. I mean, that's about my, what first drew me to this industry and this field, and because there's so many different things that I could point to, but the first that came to mind was the stress. And I didn't have a bad situation. I wasn't abused or anything like that. My parents divorced, but it's just my ability to detoxify apparently can create problems. And if I am unable to go inward, which I didn't know really as a child how to do, and I just kind of compartmentalized. I always loved school and loved my friends, and that was sort of, I just pretended like nothing was ever like there were no problems. And so, and that was my coping mechanism. Another really neat thing that science is getting into now of course, I know you and your listeners would agree about the importance of mind and body and spirit for full wellness. And that's another neat thing that medicine is validating. So maybe it's things are getting closer together than we think. But the way that what we now know about the mind and the body is that or the gut, I will say the gut and the brain, because that's an easy one, is that our inner ecosystem, and we get this genetically and we get it from our environment, from the foods we eat, it's passed down. It's this whole system. Our microbiome is now, a lot of people are talking about it a lot more. And now we're starting to understand it. We're just starting to understand it. In fact, I remember, everybody's familiar with probiotics now, but they weren't. When you and I were at, when you and I were at Tula, they were like, probiotics, doctors would say, you don't need that. And, but then the economy helped us actually because the, Dan and yogurt or whoever started started advertising, there are probiotics in yogurt. that was a way that ended up helping promote what a lot of us were already recognizing in our own bodies. But what I was going to say is one of the really cool things is that in our gut bacteria drives the show so much more than we know. And we know that because now we know that all of these neurotransmitters are actually mainly in the gut and mainly manufactured there. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people because of people feeling so bad, and maybe they're not correlating it to food. They're not correlating it to the lack of connection that happens with technology and progress and just deferring to doctors who have to prescribe and or to, you know, media and all that. But a lot of people are prescribed antidepressants, and a lot of us are familiar with the word SSRIs and the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And I had no idea that until just a few years ago that serotonin, and I had a dear friend who was on an SSRI and had a really hard time getting off of this. And I'm sure we've all have stories about that, but serotonin, you would assume, because you think of it as being an emotional or a mental challenge, it's actually, serotonin is mostly in our gut. And so if we are ingesting foods that compromise our gut bacteria, and for example, genetically modified foods, our bodies don't necessarily recognize those as nutrient. They're not as something familiar, and foods that are just processed and don't have any nutrients, our bodies still have to do something with them. And so this feeds the opportunistic bacteria, and there's no clear delineation really between good and bad bacteria. There is some. I think that actually is up for debate. I think right now we're still studying that. But when we have an abundance of bacteria that's not serving us, and we have so many macrobacterial cells, even more microbacterial cells even than human cells in our body, which is so interesting. So. That just brings back to what you were asking about wellness. In my opinion, it is doing. Fasting is wonderful. Cleanses are wonderful. Various detoxification. You talked about prevention, and that it's really about getting back to basics and connecting inward so that we can, once we do, I think that's a great way if I had to just name one thing, it would be eliminating as much as you can inwardly and outwardly just for a period of time, and taking in only the things that you feel like, that you feel like would be health supporting, and then gradually adding them back in. But from that place, really starting to figure out, what is it that is wellness to me, and how can I feel my best? Because my best and somebody else's best are going to be different. And I think that probably a lot of your listeners have done cleanses or fast, or most people are getting exposed to that now. One of the really cool side effects of that is how spiritually clear. In fact, we have a lot of people who come through our program for that benefit. If you've got something big coming up, it's just neat to, or a decision to make. And that's ancient. That's biblical, the fasting and clearing out. And so, you know, so anyway, it's neat that we are really progressing in ways that are sort of scary because they keep us disconnected and because they do rely on things that I feel, you know, a lot of things that aren't necessarily health supporting. And but even in the midst of that, we all have greater access. The technology is creating more access to the internet. I mean, to another, you know, to ways of healing. And it's creating, you know, a need. I think it'll get bigger to connect with others in person. I mean, there's a lot that we can learn on the internet, but there's nothing like that connection to people in person. And if we're disconnecting with technology, then we need to connect more deeply inward in order to find out what's real for us and what, you know, what works. So anyway, sorry, that was a little bit of a wordy answer to that question.
No, I love it. When I was pregnant many years ago, my son is now 17, but my firstborn, I, you know, cleared all toxins from my system because I was the hypervigilant new mother. And and to this day, I choose not to drink caffeinated coffee. And it's because I was very addicted to it before that point. When I cleared it out of my system for 9 months and tried to reintroduce it to my system flatly rejected it. It made me so sick that I just decided I don't really want to go back to that. And so giving myself a break for that period of time not only broke my physiological addiction to it that I didn't even know I had, but it cleansed my system. And then I chose a different lifestyle where I was no longer dependent on it. So by the time I found a practitioner that did clear all kind of food-related allergies and aversions, which was a real gift at the time because my daughter had very severe gluten and dairy allergies at the time. It was a gift to have someone who could clear it with an Indian-based technique. But I didn't really care to clear my caffeine aversion because I didn't want to become re-addicted. I have thoroughly enjoyed the lifestyle change that afforded me, where I will go to do yoga or go to the gym in the morning to stimulate my endorphins instead of being chemical dependent. And so there are so many more benefits than just the physiological aspect of the cleansing process. And because that's where some behavior change can occur, right? When we start eliminating things and we start having these epiphanies and we start really communicating and tuning in with our mind, body, spirit connection, because whether we like it or not, all three facets of ourselves, that mind, body, spirit, are connected. It's when we choose to exercise our free will and disconnect them. whether we're doing that consciously or unconsciously, we then put ourselves in a state of disease, whether it's dis-ease mentally or literal physical disease. That's the gift that we've given ourselves when we do that. So when you talked earlier about inner integrity, I think that's completely in line with everything that I teach my own clients about. True integrity isn't just being honest. It's being honest thoroughly to your core in that your mind, body, spirit, your thoughts, words, deeds, every part about you is in alignment. And when we're not in alignment, we become disjointed, and that ultimately leads to that disease. So I love all of what you said. I think there are some interesting things, too. Going back to, you know, when you talk about being vegan or raw vegan, and there are a lot with the advent of so much information, we have had a spike in a lot of food-based sensitivities. You know, we are now more aware. I think my mother and I agreed that 20 years ago when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and we associated over time a gluten aversion, you know, my mother was the first to say, I am convinced you had that as a kid, but we just didn't know what to call it. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
So we did nothing about it. And so I think we're now able to put names to things, to really identify things. I love that the medical industry is validating a lot of this, but it's interesting to me too, because
when we go back to where we started with the conversation about how the economy is really driven to keep us sick with those financial incentives, when you look at the way a business is built and scaled, it's real super important to make a profit based on standardizing things. So everything needs to fit in a nice box. Everything needs to be commoditized or measured, or, you know, it needs to be predictable. You can't really scale a business without those types of standardization processes to at some level. So when we start becoming more individualized and more educated about our own needs and what it takes for us to exercise our own wellness, boy, we cause the whole system to go outside the box.
Yes, that's crazy.
But then that becomes a new opportunity, right? We have a whole slew of vegan products today that we didn't have 5 years ago. We have a whole slew of gluten-free, dairy-free products that we didn't have 10 years ago. And we have a medical industry that is now more connected to that mind-body-spirit influence. So it's exciting time, but I do think that it can be information overload. And so I also concur that when that happens, going within is so incredibly critical. Listen to what you need individually and uniquely, and being able to give ourselves what we need, whether it's our body trying to talk our mind down, saying, quit pushing me so hard.
Yeah.
You know, or our spirit begging to come out and play because we've just kind of ignored it for a while. You know, all those gifts that we give ourselves, because I do think that experiencing joy is as important as finding peace, and both of them are incredibly powerful journeys and experiences that a lot of us, because of being habit, you know, habitual creatures, we tend to deny ourselves that, and then we seek pleasure, and pleasure can oftentimes lead to addiction, and then we're back in a vicious cycle. We're going to take another commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Beth about the Living Foods Institute and how we can optimize our wellness. So stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. So, Beth,
There are so many things I could talk to you about all day long, and we only have a few more minutes until the end of the show, so I'm going to be very selfish here and pick your brain on a few things.
Yeah.
So we talked about intervention and prevention and optimizing wellness. I want to land on the optimizing wellness piece selfishly because that's where I am in my life. And I'm hoping that we've got lots of listeners who are also there. So I have lived through breast cancer diagnoses, psoriatic arthritis, by the way, which is autoimmune diagnoses, fibromyalgia diagnoses. I, as a kid, was on an experimental vaccine for 6 years because I needed to build my immune system. So I've had lots and lots of interventions over the years. And what I learned was there is wonderful medical care to fix things. But if I don't want to become dependent on those things, meaning pharmaceutical drugs or procedures or whatever, it's up to me then to find ways to keep myself healthy. And yeah. Part of that is spiritual practice and mm-hmm. Quieting my mind and listening to my body and letting my spirit soar and doing things to cultivate that through whether it's meditation, prayer, yoga, nature hikes. There's an abundance of things that we can do. But there are also a slew of wellness practices, acupuncture, massage, my gosh, there are so many. I've probably done them all, but that are fantastic. They can also intervene, right? So when I get an injury at the gym, instead of running to the orthopedist, I usually go to my acupuncturist first because they can do dry needling, and I can let my muscle heal, and then it's back, and I'm back in the gym, and no harm done, and so I don't have any major joint related interventions. And so there are lots of ways that we can intervene, but I'm now at a stage, and I'm hoping listeners are too, so I'm not being so selfish, where I am turning 50 this month in September. I'm on my birthday countdown. I'm doing lots to celebrate it, but I'm also very hyper aware now of the aging process. And so I noticed on your website that some of what you do addresses that. And I don't remember if you said anti-aging or reverse aging or what part of that, but can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Yes. And I'm trying to remember. We're actually in the process of building a new website. It's built, but it hasn't launched yet. So I'm not sure what part, because actually, really everything is, everything that we do is anti-aging, for various reasons, because we're assaulted so much with things that age us. And that's one of the things that we get after people go through our program is, my goodness, I haven't felt this great in 20 years. And I'm getting comments from my friends of how great my skin looks. And I believe it's the, letting go of the toxins and, a couple of the most important things would be, I mentioned the doing some sort of cleansing and eliminating, and then being able to skin problems show up, of course, through toxins, which I am all too well aware of from my skin issues. And you talked about your elimination diet or your eliminating caffeine when you were pregnant, and you didn't. It's so hard to know what it is that's creating. Our bodies are oxidizing, of course, and we have things that we have when we're babies that are so health supporting, and we start to lose those. Nutrition is so incredibly foundational, but our nutrition is also affected by our brain patterns, which you are such an expert in, and I know you, so I know how great you are at recognizing people, the various patterns that people have. But I think that is just, we all know it, and you talked about the spiritual component, but I think that I started talking a minute about the brain and the gut. I am amazed at how much, how anti-aging it is when our guts are clean. For one thing, we're able to, a compromised gut creates an inability to absorb the nutrients that we need. And there, you know, we know antioxidants, and there's a lot of, you know, of course, there's a ton of research about anti-aging, this and that, but we're able to get it from food if we're eating the right foods and our bodies are able to actually absorb it. And we also know that if our patterns of thinking, and this is something that sometimes is so subtle. When you eliminated caffeine, it's hard to know. We don't know. And so you don't know that something is creating a problem until you actually remove it and can see it sort of retrospectively. So you notice, okay, I feel better, so it's not worth it. This was something in my diet that was creating a problem. And so I'd encourage your listeners, and even if I know you're a healthy eater, but it's really, and you've done the period of time of eliminating, two things. One is adding more fermented vegetables can really help a compromised digestive tract. There's a lot of great new research also about intermittent fasting, because I know we don't have much time, but just to touch on a couple to help really restabilize the lining of the gut and get your gut healthy, because your gut is creating the signaling from the neurotransmitters, the serotonin and the GABA, to your brain that's putting your body in the mode that it wants to be in. For example, fight or flight, which is, of course, coffee also does that. It stimulates the adrenals, and we can get stuck in what we call now sympathetic dominance, where our body is in constant flight and constantly we have adrenaline running through our systems. And so our body does not care about keeping us young and beautiful. At that point, it cares about running away from the stressor, and, you know, our muscles will be overactivated so that we can, you know, prime on a primal level so that we can run from a bear. And so these patterns that we, if our body is in, if our mind patterning isn't right and our gut, you know, it's back and forth. The gut is sending the signals to the brain, and the brain is sending signals to the gut. And if we don't work to correct that, we're going to age more quickly than anything. And so I think that working with both of those really at the same time, and which I know you do such a beautiful job with that, because I know you with helping people shift into being aware of what their primary MO is and how they think and what they do, and recognizing how these patterns are just they're innate or they're ancient, whether they're passed down from our parents or whatever. But the way that we relate to the world, it's either creating aging or it's helping fostering peace and wellness that also creates our body's ability to digest food. So it's just such it's really back to basics in my opinion, and back to simple ways of recognizing, in the way that maybe our grandparents related to the world, there was something to that in a more simple way, and the food was different. But although the way our grandparents related, of course, our grandparents passed down a lot of bad ways of relating to the world too.
But we can retrieve the good and yes, the
exactly.
bad, right? Yeah. Well, yes, and you're very kind. You're very kind for recognizing my work. But you know, I'm human too. I love learning from other teachers, and I think you're a fabulous one. Can we talk about those fermented vegetables a little bit? Can you rattle off a few? Can you give us a list of what those might be? So if people are making their grocery list right now, like myself.
Yes, I missed what you said. A list of what?
The fermented vegetables. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also I'm going to add sprouts to that list. And, because those are so great for your gut bacteria, but you want it to be traditionally fermented. If you get the, things on a shelf that's just, that, that,
that's not in the refrigerated section, it won't be great. And you have to look, but now Whole Foods has things that are fermented. Of course, probiotics are, but if you get it from food, you're getting it even more so. And there's some in yogurts, but a lot of us have sensitivities to dairy. Sometimes yogurt's easier, but mm-hmm. now there's coconut yogurt and kefir and sheep yogurt. But I like, there's kimchi, which is, of course, if you know, traveling to other countries, those are, you know, real, typically served with meals. And that's one of the things that we teach is fermenting at Living Foods, because we feel like it should be added so much. And that was an old way of preserving foods. That's ancient. And mm-hmm. turns out that's really just creating, when you ferment something, you're really creating bugs in it. And but they're great. They really help us. That really helps our gut bacteria restore it. So, of course, probiotics, there's a lot of really specific probiotics. This just points to how much research there is in our gut microbiome. There's, you know, probiotics for aging. There's probiotics for immunity, for weight loss. And so they've identified some. They still are working on it. But there's also, of course, you know, if you just get sauerkraut. Sauerkraut, but there's a good one. There are a couple good ones at Whole Foods. I like the ones that are organic, and that's one of the reasons I like to make it myself, too. Because you know what you're doing, or you know what you're getting. But there are some great organic. There's an organic kimchi, and I would suggest to your listeners and to you to try a couple, because some you may not like at all, and some you'll love. And that's an easy thing to add to your diet. And I mentioned sprouts. That they're just so incredibly nutrient dense, and they're so vibrant and alive, and that's what you want to be putting in your body. So those would be two things, and there are a lot of varieties of all of those. Broccoli sprouts are one of the most healing foods around, and now there's even research that shows the sulforaphanes in broccoli can heal cancer, and sprouts have more, because they're not sprouts unheated, has more sulforaphanes in them. So, and we know that they're doing great things to our body. So for preventing age problems, preventing gut problems, and to help with aging, I think that getting your probiotics from food and adding sprouts are just two of many things. But does that sort of answer your question?
Oh, yes, it does. And I'm thinking about how many probiotics I take a day. It's kind of embarrassing, but because I don't know which ones I'm supposed to be taking, I take a lot.
No. We don't know yet.
So I hope that's okay. But so can you educate us a little bit on, because right now then there's a movement on prebiotics, probiotics, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the different, can you tell us what is the difference? Why do we need them both? Why do we?
Yes. And so two points about that. And prebiotics really are the food for the good bacteria. And so and that really is life changing. For a while, people were saying, so we know, most people know, oh, sugar feeds the bad bacteria. We've got to avoid it. But we still need, a lot of people were leaving out some of the things, like sweet potatoes are a great source of prebiotics and fiber. Those can feed the good bacteria. And sorry, I'm distraction. But also, you mentioned taking a lot of different probiotics. This is a whole new field that is going to be really cool over the next few years. I think it's really growing. There are a lot of tests that can tell you what you have in your, you can do, I mean, this is like a stool sample, and you can send it off, and they can tell you what bacteria are you deficient in, what do you need more of. But we're not there yet. And I think there are a lot of, I'm sure there are a lot of great tests out there. I haven't found one that I think is phenomenal, because I think we still are in the very early phase of research. I mentioned that our whole inner ecosystem is, it's so complex, and there's so much more that we don't know about it. If there are more microbacterial cells even than human cells, we've got to know there. I mentioned even, you know, just on a very basic level, how our guts are influencing our minds. But so we don't really know. There's still, the research is out about exactly which probiotics and prebiotics and how much we need. And that's why it's so important to be able to go inward and to to notice how you feel. So I might suggest to you that you get off of all of your probiotics for a while. And I know I did a test many years ago, and I was convinced, and I have a parasite or something's going on. And the doctor said, well, you're actually showing up as having too many probiotics. And I, like you, can be way too hypervigilant about things and, or neurotic maybe. Sure I get the right thing.
I'll own it.
It's easy to get off balance with that, but I think it's a growing field, and I'd say experiment.
Yes, and quite honestly, with the health history that I have, you know, once I turned the corner and started really owning my wellness, then that's mm-hmm. when I really became hypervigilant. So I went from being, you know, back in the day being the smoker, heavy drinker, hard worker, workaholic, and now I'm hypervigilant about my probiotics. What can I say? Yoga and the gym.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% different, but in some ways it can be the same. I know for myself, too. Because it's hypervigilant. I mean, you just
too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a poem. My favorite poem in the 70s had a line in it that said, even sunshine burns if you get too much. Too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. I want to thank you. This has been a fabulous episode. I really find every time I talk to you, I always come out feeling more educated, enlightened. I haven't talked to you in ages, so if we had to do it through the radio show, so be it. hopefully we can talk more often. But, you know, things in this industry, in wellness and healthcare, both have changed so dramatically from when you and I first met, and for the better, I like to think. So thank you so much. How can people find you? You've teased them with so much great knowledge. And now they're probably dying to come to the Institute. So where can people find you, Beth?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, and I mentioned we're in the process of getting our new website, but our existing one is the Living Foods Institute. And you can, it comes up pretty quickly on the search, Google search. So,
Is it .org or .com?
We're in Atlanta.
Wonderful. Head to the site, livingfoodsinstitute.com. And Beth, thank you so much. And
I will talk
to everyone else next Thursday.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.